Debate. The New Bible versus the Old-Fashioned Bible. It was originally by evangelist Dan Gilbert. He stands up for the Old-Fashioned Bible. And Professor George R. Stevenson stands up for the New Bible. This is a re-dramatization. Dan Gilbert's introduction. Some time ago, I published a book in which I set forth my reasons for regarding the so-called new version of the Bible as actually a perversion of the Word of God. Millions of dollars are being spent in a high-pressured propaganda campaign to persuade church people to discard the old-fashioned Bible and accept this false version instead. Apparently, part of this slush fund is being used in a cunning and calculated effort to try to discredit those of us who have dared to expose the truth about this mistranslation of God's Word. I've received an avalanche of letters from people who say violent and bitter things against me because I have taken a stand for the old-fashioned Bible and have shown up this false translation for what it is, not a new version, but a perversion. Some of these letters are plainly inspired by those who have a financial axe to grind in the promotion of the so-called New Bible. But other of the letter writers are obviously sincere, although misguided. I've had long and spirited correspondence with those who, in sincerity and zeal, are championing the New Bible. Appealing to my sense of fair play, they have urged that I let them present their side of the case to my radio listeners and readers. I believe that the presentation of both sides of any issue makes it all the more clear which side is right. I believe that after you have read what is said in support of the New Bible, you'll be all the more convinced that it is no new version at all, but a falsification and mutilation of the Bible of our fathers. Of the champions of the New Bible who have written me, one man seemed best qualified to speak for the advocates of the New Bible. He is Professor George R. Stevenson.
Friends and supporters of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible have expressed the opinion that I am in a position to state the case in favor of it. I have spent my whole lifetime in religious work, as a teacher, as a pastor, as a lecturer. I am recognized as somewhat of an authority on the languages in which the original manuscripts of the Bible are written. I do not believe that anyone could study the merits of this new version more carefully and impartially than I. Naturally, I do not like to sing my own praises, but if there is any doubt as to my background, I will be glad to supply a wide array of recommendations and favorable comments regarding me. In upholding the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, I will set forth the position not only of myself, but of others who are in the forefront of the movement to bring about its universal adoption.
The printing and distributing of this book containing this debate is my own responsibility. Reverend Stevenson is free to print and circulate an edition of his own if he wishes on whatever basis appeals to him. The Dan Gilbert edition of this debate has no price. It is mailed to everyone who gives a dollar or more to help sustain my prisoner's Bible broadcast. By agreement with Professor Stevenson, and to save space, all references to the Revised Standard Version of the Bible will be shortened to read the New Bible.
In his bitter diatribe against the New Bible, Dr. Gilbert raises a cry of outrage against this superb work of scholarship because, in his words, it casts doubt upon the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Certainly, the New Bible does contain passages which raise a question as to whether or not Jesus was actually born of a virgin. But in doing so, the New Bible merely expresses this study viewpoint of modern science. Modern science cannot accept the idea that any man, at any time, was born of a virgin. Liberal religious thinkers cannot fly in the face of the deliberate verdict of modern science. All my life, I have been in association with foremost leaders of religious liberalism. I have been on the faculties of outstanding seminaries and religious institutions that adhere to the enlightened liberal point of view. I have spoken in some of America's most famous liberal pulpits. I am personally acquainted with the intellectual leaders of religious liberalism. I know what they think. Now, if Dr. Gilbert finds doubt in the New Bible regarding the virgin birth of Christ, let me assure him that he will find the same doubt in the honest thinking of the leading liberal clergymen of his 20th century. The translators of the New Bible have handled the matter in a most fair and scholarly manner. They have left the virgin birth in the scriptures, but they have surrounded this alleged miracle with a fair measure of skepticism with which modern science views such an irregular occurrence, or more precisely, the allegation of such an irregular occurrence. It is not the translators of the New Bible to say dogmatically whether or not such an event actually took place.
I am well aware, without Professor Stevenson reminding me, that so-called religious liberals harbor doubt as to the miracles of God. They have a right to their doubts, of course, but I do not think they have any right to incorporate their doubts into the Book of God. That is what I am complaining against. The religious liberals, such as Professor Stevenson, Harry Emerson Fosdick, and others, are free to write books over their own names, setting forth their own disbeliefs and doubts. But the Bible is the Word of God. It is wicked and blasphemous for any set of translators to insert their own doubts into the Bible. This amounts to forgery. It is dishonest and unfair. In the old-fashioned Bible, there is no doubt whatsoever about the miracles that God performed. The doubts that the religious liberals have dreamed up in their own minds, they have now written into the Bible, under the guise of offering us a new version of the Bible. The religious liberals advanced this propaganda campaign to foist their skepticism upon the church people of our land. That is why I call this new Bible a false translation, a perversion of the Scriptures.
The Bible is an antiquated book. It must be brought up to date. There would be no purpose in bringing forth a new translation unless it was to adjust this old-time religion to the findings of modern science and scholarship. The Bible must be made to live again. To accomplish this, old and discredited doctrines must be brought into alignment with the spirit and understanding of modern science. Now, I realize that there are two ideas about how a translator should operate. Dr. Gilbert adheres fanatically to the old idea that the sole business of the translator is to reproduce in modern language the precise statements that were set down in another language thousands of years ago. In other words, we are to have a dead reproduction of a dead religion. It impresses me that such a dreary enterprise should be a waste of time and effort. The other idea of the work of a translator is this. The translator is to go back thousands of years and examine what is to be found in the ancient manuscripts. He is to discard what is worthless and discredited. He is to conserve and preserve the abiding truths that may be found in the old religion. But he is to bring forth these truths into conformity with modern science. He is to reinterpret these truths. He is to give them new scope and meaning. The translator lives in an age of atomic power, television, and advanced medical science. He must bring out a new Bible that breathes the scientific spirit of the modern age. Dr. Gilbert raves about this new Bible being a false or untrue translation. Of course, it is not in accord with ancient ignorance. Of course, it is not true, quote-unquote, to the ideas prevailing in a pre-scientific period of history. But, by the same token, it is true to the spirit of modern science and religious liberalism.
Professor Stevenson has admitted the most serious of the charges that I have made against the New Bible mistranslators. He has taken his stand with him in arguing for a method of translation which is as dishonest as it is deceitful. He says that the business of modern translators is to lay unholy hands upon the ancient manuscripts of the Word of God. These new translators, he says, are justified in throwing into the discard what is worthless and discredited. They are to junk what they don't like in the Book of God. Then he contends they are to conserve and preserve what they do like. But in keeping what they deem to be the truths contained in the Bible, they are to twist and change them in any manner which they consider to be in conformity with modern science. Does not Professor Stevenson know what the Bible is? It is the Word of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, from Hebrews 13:8. It is forbidden to man to add to or subtract from the Word of God. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, from Psalm 119:89. No opinionated new translators can change the original copy of God's word, which is in heaven. I want a Bible that is the same on earth as it is in heaven. I want a Bible that has not been tampered with by unbelieving men. I want a Bible that is the word of God, a Bible into which men have not been able to insert their own doubts and disbeliefs. That is why I shall keep the old-fashioned Bible, the Bible that is the faith of our fathers, once and for all, delivered unto the saints, handed down from heaven.
There was a time when honest and competent scholars could be cowed by the type of hysterical appeal that Dr. Gilbert makes. Keep your unholy hands off the Bible. In those days, all scientific investigation of Bible teachings was stifled, and scientists were obliged to bow in ignorant obeisance before a book which they dared not criticize. But that time is happily gone forever. Dr. Gilbert and the embattled fundamentalists which he leads can never bring it back. By this very tone, he acknowledges that he is on the defensive. We are going to keep the Gilbert type of fundamentalist on the defensive until they finally give up in their effort to turn back the clock. Liberal clergymen have gone along with the scientists in subjecting the Bible to the same kind of critical treatment that is applied to other works of men. We have gone ahead and weighed and measured its contents. We have laid the yardstick of scientific truth alongside all the old scriptural doctrines. We have not hesitated to declare the results of this investigation. Where we find defects in the Bible, we are making the necessary adjustments and corrections. The new Bible is a contribution towards the humanizing of the old book. Much remains to be done in this direction, but at least the new Bible expresses the spirit of adventuresome religious thinkers who have had the intellectual and spiritual courage to treat religion as a living, growing thing, rather than a stagnated thing which remains today the same as it was 1,000 years ago.
I want to ask the professor a question or two. He says, it is all right to lay unholy hands upon the Book of God. One of my fellow fundamentalists, whom he ridicules, has called this new Bible the Unholy Bible. I think it might even better be called the Bible of Unholy Men. Now, I want to ask Professor Stevenson, do you regard the Bible as a holy book at all? You speak of it as the work of men. You refer to it as a book prepared originally by men who lived in a bygone period of ancient ignorance. You talk about subjecting the Bible to critical treatment. Apparently, your attitude is to criticize it the same way that you would a book written by human beings, containing the faults and mistakes that are to be found in all the works of men. I'm sure we can give the people a clear idea of what this new Bible is. We can put them in a position in which they can determine whether or not they wish to use it. If you will answer the question, do religious liberals, of the type who favor this new version of the Bible, regard the Bible itself as the holy book, the one revelation of the living God?
Thank you, Dr. Gilbert, for dropping your highly emotional defense mechanism and coming to an important point. I trust we may now get somewhere in our discussion. I do not believe anyone who calls himself a religious liberal would ever agree that the Bible is a holy book in the sense that you fundamentalist Christians regard it. I presume a holy book would be one that would be deemed untouchable by human hands or thought. If there were such a thing as a holy book, it would be accepted in belief from cover to cover without question. A holy book would be one that was established as a higher authority beyond the reach of scientific investigation or criticism. A holy book would be one whose truth was established on a higher plane beyond the reach of the very methods and instruments of modern science by which truth is evaluated and is exposed. Religious liberalism rejects the idea that there is any such thing as a holy book. The new translators have demonstrated that the Bible is not a holy book. They have treated it as a human book. They have humanized the scriptures. Of course, you just resort to your characteristic emotional appeal when you refer to the New Bible as an unholy book. It is neither holy nor unholy. It is just plain human. It is a man-made book for men to study and use.
Thank you, Professor Stevenson, for letting us know that religious liberalism does not regard the Bible as a holy book, and therefore deliberately gives us a new version which applies the human touch to change the Word of God. However, do you not think that millions of church people would instantly reject this new Bible if they knew that the purpose of the new translation was to offer a new book which is the work of men, not the Word of God? Most of the advertising of the new Bible has been to the effect that it is easier to read. People are being led to buy and use the new Bible on the ground that it makes for easier reading and understanding. Why do not the promoters and propagandists of the new Bible come out openly and advertise that the doubts of unbelieving science have been incorporated in this new Bible? Religious liberals have made over the Bible to bring it into line with what they consider to be the findings of modern science. They've laid unholy hands upon the Word of God and warped and twisted it to conform to their own skeptical ideas. Don't you think there would be a mass rejection of the new Bible if the people were plainly told the whole truth about it?
Now, Dr. Gilbert, you are just being naive, which I say for the benefit of your readers is a polite word meaning mildly simple-minded. Old-fashioned religion is based upon prejudice and superstition. When you attack people's prejudices, you don't convince them. You just produce the kind of violent emotional reaction for which you yourself, Dr. Gilbert, have an almost incomparable capacity. Millions of church people in our land still harbor the old prejudices and superstitions about the Bible. They still cling to the idea that it is the holy book handed down from heaven, and not a book containing the advancing ideas of men of religious resourcefulness. Of course we are not going to attack these prejudices and superstitions openly. People must be weaned away from their false ideas gradually. Naturally, I had no part in writing the advertising copy for the new Bible. But in my own recommendation and promotion of it, I stress the fact that it is a work of modern and enlightened scholarship. The first big job is to get it into the homes of the people. When they proceed to study it, they will find out for themselves what it contains. I expect you will try to make something of the fact that, although religious liberalism does not consider the Bible to be a holy book in the old-fashioned sense, nevertheless the words Holy Bible are on the cover of the Revised Standard Version. We have no objection to calling the Bible a holy book, provided it is understood that humanity is the only really holy thing that we recognize. The Bible could be considered holy in the sense that man is holy and the work of his hands is holy. I have made it plain that we cannot consider any book holy in any other sense.
I do not want to be sidetracked into a debate on the subject of religious liberalism. So-called liberalism or modernism denies the miracles of God. Fundamental Christianity believes in all of God's miracles and all of God's Word. Our debate is over the new Bible. I oppose this new Bible and its makers on the ground of their fundamental dishonesty. The makers of this new book even leave the words Holy Bible upon the cover. Yet the very purpose in bringing out a new translation is to humanize the Bible and take the holiness out of it. Professor Stevenson tells us that religious liberalism regards humanity as the only really holy thing that we know anything about. Modernism says that to be holy and to be human is the same thing. Of course, every old-fashioned Christian knows that holy means the opposite of human. God is holy. Holiness comes from Him. The only holy book is the one that He has given unto men. Religious liberalism denies that the Bible is a holy book, a book given us by God. Then it turns around and asserts that the Bible is just a human book. Then it goes on to say that, because it is just a human book, the Bible is a holy book, since the only holy things are the human things. This is blasphemous nonsense. I am well aware that religious liberalism falsely asserts that a book which is human is also holy, since these words mean the same things. But they do not mean the same things to the millions of church people in our land. In its very promotion of this new Bible, religious liberalism is engaging in the most cunning campaign of deliberate trickery and deception ever practiced against the conscientious, trusting religious people of our land.
Dr. Gilbert has got back on his high horse of hysterical ranting. Perhaps we should just leave him there, hanging halfway between illusion and common sense. We religious liberals are not trying to deceive anyone, but we are endeavoring to rescue our church people out of the dark ages and bring them into this era of enlightenment. Our task is that of religious education. Science disproves the old ideas about the nature of things holy. Religious liberalism accepts the scientific revelation that all holiness is in humanity and nowhere else. It will be a slow and painful undertaking to educate the religious masses to a full acceptance of this great truth. The New Bible is our textbook. It is an agency of enlightenment which we want to put into the hands of all people of religious sensibility. The Old Bible belongs in the dead past. It upholds the old superstitions that we want to tear down. Religious liberalism needed a new Bible to serve its purposes. The best scholars in the world have given it to us. At first, I suggested that we just leave Dr. Gilbert up on his hysterical high horse, but I am sure we are tiring of his monotonous ranting on that fantastic plane. I trust he will now come down and move on to a consideration of some of the other charges he has made against the new Bible. I want to refute his other claims against this new work of scholarship. This is, I have already punctured the inflated accusations as he has previously made.
I want to show you the fraud and deceit that are the basis of the promotion of this new Bible. I hold two books in my hands. The first is the Revised Standard Version of the New Testament, published in 1946. The other is the whole New Bible, published in 1952. I turn to the first page of the Gospel according to Matthew, as contained in the New Testament New Bible, published in 1946, and I find no printed footnote which comments on the virgin birth of Christ. Now I turn to the first page of the Gospel according to Matthew, as contained in the whole New Bible, published in 1952, and I read this footnote. Quote, "Other ancient authorities read Joseph, to whom was betrothed the Virgin Mary, was the father of Jesus, who is called the Christ." End quote. This footnote is not in the 1946 New Testament of the New Bible, but it is deliberately inserted in the 1952 whole New Bible. Now remember, the 1946 New Testament was published in limited edition. Many ministers looked it over and then recommended it. The 1952 whole New Bible has been advertised and promoted very largely on the recommendation of ministers who surveyed the 1946 edition of the New Testament. After getting the endorsement of leading clergymen, those blasphemous words are cunningly added in a footnote. Joseph, ... was the father of Jesus, who is called the Christ. End of quote. It is alleged that ancient authorities uphold this idea that Joseph was the father of Jesus. But if ancient authorities upheld it in 1952, they also upheld it in 1946. Whatever these new translators surmised about ancient authorities in 1952 must have coincided with their view in 1946. It is clear that the new Bible promoters added this attack upon the virgin birth in a cowardly footnote after they had been careful to solicit important endorsements of the 1946 edition, which contained no such blasphemy.
Dr. Gilbert has developed another fine frenzy over the fact that the 1952 New Testament of the New Bible contains footnotes not included in the 1946 edition. This New Bible contains many things that are startling and perhaps even revolutionary to those accustomed to think in conformity with the old traditions of this dead orthodoxy. Obviously, the new enlightenment could not be supplied in doses beyond the ability of the religious masses to assimilate. A person who has lived for a long time in darkness must be accustomed to the light gradually. The New Bible of 1952 does contain stronger meat, clearer light, than the New Testament of it, which was published in 1946. I do not doubt that additional footnotes bringing new light to bear upon important biblical doctrines may be included in later editions of the New Bible. Dr. Gilbert charges that some of the more timid ministers who endorsed the 1946 New Testament might not have done so had it contained the footnotes found in the 1952 edition. That may be. Lots of ministers would hesitate to endorse any new Bible, especially if they feared it might conflict too radically with their age-old orthodoxy. Dr. Gilbert shouts trickery. He is just indignant because so many ministers did endorse the 1946 New Testament. I believe that the translators of this new Bible did a very fine job. I also believe that what Gilbert calls the promoters of it also have done a very excellent job. They have secured wide circulation for the new Bible. They have also handled its promotion in such a way as to get outstanding ministerial endorsement for it. I find nothing wrong with the methods they have employed, and I find everything encouraging in the results that they have obtained.
There is not time to dwell longer upon the trickery and deception found in the promotion of this new Bible. I now must pass on to another important issue. Professor Stevenson cannot deny that approximately one out of three of the new translators has a background of involvement in Communist Front organizations. A Red Front organization is a propaganda agency set up to advance the purposes of Red Communism. Obviously, no one is going to join a Red Front organization and help in its advancement, unless he is sympathetic with communism. Here we have a new Bible, which is in part the work of men who are known for their pro-communist sympathies. Communism is the enemy of God. Communism denies the supernatural. Communism is grounded in crass materialism. A person who has had contacts with Communist Front organizations is certainly not qualified to prepare a new Bible which is acceptable to Christians. Communism seeks to tear down belief in the miracles of God. We find in this new Bible the most subtle of doubts and aspersions upon the most precious elements of our faith. It is true that non-communist sympathizers, those who have no record of association with Red Front groups, also worked on the new translation. But the pro-communist sympathizers find nothing objectionable in the new Bible. Rather, they give it their full endorsement. If it is acceptable to those with a tainted red viewpoint, it must be obnoxious to every Christian who knows that communism and Christianity are opposites.
Communists sit side by side with Democrats in the United Nations. Why should they not work alongside of Christians in preparing the new Bible? In Korea and elsewhere, we have our differences with the communists, but these must be ironed out and compromised. In the long run, communists and non-communists must get along with each other in this world and in the churches of this world. We must meet the communists halfway. The old Bible is absolutely abhorrent to all people with a Marxian communist outlook. We need a new Bible that they could accept, at least in a qualified way. We must have a world religion that will embrace all peoples of the world. We must not exclude from our religion all the millions of people who live under the banner of communism. Since they could not and would not accept the old Bible, it is only fitting that we should offer them a new one which does not do violence to their basic convictions. To prepare a new Bible that would find favor with those of a communist conviction, it was only logical and necessary that we include pro-communists on the Committee of Translators. This new Bible is a joint effort contributed to by those who have some sympathy with a communist way of thought, as well as by those who are hostile to everything that smacks of Marxism. In this new Bible, we have a splendid blending of the red viewpoint, the pink viewpoint, and what I suppose would be called the white or Christian viewpoint.
Much of what Professor Stevenson says is ridiculous to anyone who does not have sympathy for the communist viewpoint. However, I want to comment on what he says regarding a religion that embraces all peoples of the world. Christ died for every man, regardless of race, color, or political conviction. We must take the gospel to all creatures. It is true that some, with communist or other evil ideas, will reject the saving message of Christ contained in the old Bible, but that is no reason for changing or compromising the truth in Christ. It is our duty to present to all peoples everywhere the Lamb of God who taketh away sin. All individuals have free will, and some may use it to turn away from Christ. Others will exercise freedom of choice to accept the Savior. It is idiotic to talk about establishing a world religion on the basis of changing the Bible in such a way as to suit, partway at least, those who have embraced an infidel philosophy which denies God completely. To pervert and warp the scriptures so as to win favor with the Reds is treason against our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a project unworthy of men who call themselves ministers of the gospel. It is our responsibility to keep the faith and to preach the faith in all its purity. To conspire with enemies of the gospel and censoring and pink coloring the scriptures is the lowest form of betrayal of the Savior.
Dr. Gilbert talks like a refugee from the Middle Ages when he prates about upholding the Lamb of God before the peoples of our 20th century world. The masses in communist countries, as elsewhere, want a living human leader. They do not want a God in human form. They will not accept a Jesus who is presented to them as a supernatural character. They want a human Jesus who is all flesh and blood, all passion and spirit. In one of his articles, Dr. Gilbert protests that in the New Bible, the deity of Christ is played down and soft-pedaled. He objects that the New Bible presents Jesus as a leader of the people, the kind of human leader that America had in Lincoln, India had in Gandhi, and Russia had in Lenin. Well, I do not object to that. I applaud it. We democratic peoples of the world are losing contact with the masses in communist lands, largely because we have clung to a dead religion. No. The Old Bible does present Jesus as a supernatural savior, but such a presentation brings no response from the common people of the world today. The New Bible breaks with the old, discredited traditions. The New Bible humanizes Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It brings him down out of heaven to earth and lets the masses of the people know that he is their friend. He is one of them. Unless we want all mankind to embrace atheistic communism, we had better offer the masses the kind of religion that will be satisfying to them, not the kind that was handed down from our forefathers.
Professor Stevenson is certainly telling us things about this New Bible that lots of church people need to know. Hundreds of thousands of churchgoers have bought the New Bible, thinking it is just a new translation into simpler, more understandable English. But now the professor informs us that this New Bible is the vehicle for putting over a new religion, a religion that compromises with communism to such an extent that the Reds can be counted upon to embrace it en masse. The professor advises that the New Bible even changes the life and character of Jesus Christ, taking away his supernatural being and casting him in the role of a revolutionary agitator, a human leader. The professor urges the adoption of the New Bible as a means of bringing the communists into camp. Apparently, the idea was to take out of the Old Bible those elements of the supernatural, the miracles of God, which Marxian materialists do not like. The professor thinks it was fine that pro-communists sat on the Committee of Translators, apparently to see to it that everything was taken out of the Old Bible that communists object to, and to see to it that nothing went into the New Bible unless it had the approval of those with a deep sympathy for the communist way of thought. I believe there would be a mass discarding of the New Bible if the church people of our land knew what the professor tells us about it. The people have been kept in ignorance as to the purpose and the promotion of the New Bibles. They have been deceived as to what it contains and why it was produced.
Once again, Dr. Gilbert is charging that there is a deceit and fraud in the promotion of the New Bible. Personally, I do not think that the masses of our church people have been deceived at all. I believe that they want a New Bible. They are not as old-fashioned as Dr. Gilbert supposes. The American people, including those who go to church, are progressive people. Our people do not want to live intellectually or spiritually in the Dark Ages. They want an up-to-date Bible just as they want a new model automobile. They want to get along with their neighbor nations. Only the diehards of a bygone era believe in no compromise with communism. Of course, we must make some concessions to the communists in order that they will make some concessions to us. Communism began as an anti-religious movement. The old-time Reds wanted no religion at all. The founders of our country believed in a religion of supernaturalism with all kinds of miracles and with a Messiah who was more God than man. Thinking communists recognized that they went too far in rejecting all religion. They will come back to the acceptance of a religion of reason. Thinking liberals of our own country recognize that a religion of supernaturalism does not fit the modern age. Hence, we too will move in the direction of reason. The communists were on the extreme left of infidelity, and they will move towards the center. We are on the extreme right of supernaturalism, and we must move towards the center. In the middle of the road, in the center, we can meet with all peoples of the world in the forming of a new world religion founded upon the New Bible.
The old-fashioned Bible itself describes the movement upheld by Professor Stevenson. It tells us that in the last days there shall be a dreadful apostasy. Apostasy means treason against heaven, a turning away from the faith once delivered unto the saints. The Bible tells us, scoffers will come walking in their own lusts. They will change the truth of God into a lie. They will deny the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole world will be brought under the leadership of a false religion. A human leader will be accepted in the place of our divine Lord. False teachers and false prophets will arise who will not endure sound doctrine. This movement finally heads up in Antichrist. The devil is the mastermind behind it all. Professor Stevenson talks of changing the scripture, of dethroning the Lord Jesus Christ, of denying his virgin birth and deity. He talks of promoting this Antichrist movement as though it were something new, even would have us believe that the hope of world peace and progress depends upon working out some kind of a compromise with God-hating communism. Now, I do not indulge any expectation that the professor is going to accept what Bible prophecy says about him and the movement he fosters through the propaganda of liberal religion. But I do want all Bible believers to know that he speaks for Antichrist. He proceeds along the road recommended by Antichrist. He promotes a new Bible, which is worked out according to the specifications of Antichrist.
I knew that Dr. Gilbert would get around to calling the new Bible the Book of Antichrist before he got through. Why didn't he make such an absurd charge in the beginning? Then we could have terminated the discussion right there, and he could have been left wearing the dunce cap which he now finally has put upon his own head. I would not be that mean to him, but he has done it to himself. According to Dr. Gilbert, I am of Antichrist. The new translators are of Antichrist. Everybody who wants peace with communism is of Antichrist. Of course we want a world religion. Communists are part of the world, a very big part. Any religion which embraces all mankind must win the allegiance of the communist masses. The United Nations aims ultimately at a world government. Its counterpart must be a world religion. It is no secret that some of the world's leading statesmen representing communist as well as non-communist countries have heralded the New Bible as the book that can serve as a common foundation for the world religion which will be required to make the world government effective. There are parts of the Old Bible which no religious liberal can accept. Prime among these are those portions that tell of the coming of an Antichrist, the collapse of nations, and the final arrival of a day of judgment. Enlightened thinkers must reject all that belongs to the realm of so-called Bible prophecy. Those who believe these sections of the Bible will reject the New Bible naturally, narrow-minded folks who cling to the Old Bible. Enlightened Christians will accept the New Bible. Narrow-minded folks will cling to the Old Bible. Enlightened Christians will accept the New Bible. I think that just about sums the matter up.
Yes, I do believe that just about sums the matter up. People who believe the whole Bible will cling to the old-fashioned Book of God. People who believe that Christ is coming again, who accept the truth of the prophetic scriptures, will certainly stand by the Bible of our fathers. People who believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ will assuredly have nothing to do with a new Bible, which, the professor boasts, cast doubt upon the miracles of God. People who believe that the Bible is God's holy book will keep it that way, the revelation of God's will. They will not agree to having the Bible changed and corrupted to suit the ideas of modern scientists and Russian communists. Suppose that people who do not believe in the miracles of God will go along with the professor and the communists in applauding the new Bible. People who have never been washed in the blood of Christ, born again, will welcome the new Bible, which presents Jesus as just a human leader, as the professor brags. The matter is fairly set before us. The scripture raises the question, "What think ye of Christ?" Those who think Christ has Joseph as his father will like the new Bible. Those who want a religion of compromise with communism will like the new Bible. Those who think the Bible is not a holy book, but just a man-made work, will like the new Bible. Those who think of Jesus as just a political leader and not the Lamb of God will like the new Bible. But those who believe in Jesus Christ, the virgin-born Son of God, the Savior of all who will be cleansed by the power of his shed blood, we will stick by the old-fashioned Bible that presents our Savior in all his supernatural, miracle-working power. God calls upon us to choose whom we will serve, God or Mammon. Which will we choose? The old-fashioned Bible that is true to Christ, that is a full and faithful expression of his truth, or the new Bible that is done over in such a way as to please the communists and all others who do not accept the miracles and deity of Christ? I have chosen to keep the old-fashioned Bible and to repudiate this new Bible, which is no Bible at all, but is a book contrived by the servants of Antichrist to undermine the truths that are contained in the Bible of our fathers.
How did this debate get started? Evangelist Dan Gilbert published a book in which he declared his reasons for opposing and rejecting the New Bible. Professor Stevenson bitterly denounced him for refusing to accept the New Bible. The demand was made upon Dan Gilbert to enter into this debate. After reading the record of the debate, you may wish to read Dan Gilbert's book against the New Bible. These are the chapter titles. Why do the infidels like the New Bible? Do unbelievers have a part in preparing it? Is it the work of honest scholars? Is it a true translation? Does it belittle Jesus Christ? Does it discredit his saving blood? Does it follow the line of scoffers? Why do pro-communists approve of it?
The Prisoner's Bible broadcast is no longer operating as of the making of this recording, May 11th, 2008.
So we went ahead and decided to audio dramatize it. So you had the voices here. I, Daryl Farkas, played Dan Gilbert, and my son, Andrew Farkas, played Professor Stevenson. Hope this serves to be a blessing to you. And you can copy and pass this on however you like.
The preceding recording is published under a Creative Commons license with no dissemination and no commercial works permitted.